You would open your Bibles to Psalm 119. The text that we're going to be looking at this evening will be beginning in verse 9. And we'll be going through verse 16. Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. If you look at the screen behind me now, you'll see the title for this evening's lesson, The Road to Higher Education. This is a lesson that I usually pull out and dust off and occasionally we'll present it to high school, college, junior high school students, because at this particular time of the year, school's getting ready to start. It was only coincidental that school was getting ready to start when I pulled this lesson out. I wasn't really thinking about that necessarily along those lines. This would be a good lesson, and for Tyler and Ryan, who are the youngest students here, youngest men, and going to school this fall, this is a good lesson for them. But what I want to suggest to us, as I know that the psalmist here says, how shall a young man cleanse his way? And it may imply to us that this is specifically for them, and I would agree with that. But I also believe there's application for every single one of us here in this auditorium this evening. And that's really what I want to discuss with us. Whether we are young or whether we are more experienced in life, there are things that can be found within the context of these verses that help us remain closer to God. And when I have a title on the screen, The Road to Higher Education, it is basically a play on words. Now, yes, I can apply this to those who are going off to college and say they're going to get a higher education when they get into college, or for those that are going from junior high to high school, I can do that too. But what I'm going to suggest to us this evening is that when I'm talking about a higher education, I'm talking about a divine education. I want to present it in such a way that this applies to every single person in this auditorium this evening, and every single child of God, for that matter, not just those who are young. And you begin in our text with a question. And in verse 9, you get the question and the answer both, I believe. Because it starts out, how can a young man cleanse his way? Well, let me ask this. How can any person cleanse their way? And if you think about that in worldly terms, we're not going to be able to do this by ourselves. We're not going to be able to accomplish this cleansing alone. And the writer here in the book of Psalms immediately gives you an answer in verse 9. And what does he say? He says, by taking heed according to your word. You realize that the psalmist is writing and speaking directly to God in this sense. He's talking about how he can remain close to him, how he can remain pure in this life, how he can do those things that are going to be pleasing to the Lord. But it says, how can a young man cleanse his way? And I think the author here in this psalm is quite certain that he's asked a rhetorical question in many ways, because he already knew the answer. He knew it was going to be God's way. He knew it was going to be God's word, by taking heed according to your word. And so no matter where we are in life, No matter what time of the year it is, we've just entered into the month of August of 2017. But there are some who are lesser experienced in life. There are some who are much more experienced in life. And it doesn't matter where you are in that life. What the wise words of this psalmist presents to us is a simple way to stay and remain close to God. By what? Taking heed according to His Word. No matter where you are, you can have God's Word with you. And in the era in which we live now, and we point this out quite often, you don't have to leave the home without a Bible in your pocket. If you've got a smartphone, you have access to a Bible that you can have with you, at least in electronic format. I will say this. I do believe there's nothing like having it printed in front of you, though. There's nothing like having the Word of God, be able to open it up, turn to its pages, and actually turn the page when you're finished with that particular page. My Bible right now, it with Psalm 119, the page that I'm on begins with verse 9 and ends with verse 47. It would be wonderful to be able to, as I'm reading it, to just be able to feel that page in my hand and then turn it and read verse 48 and begin there. You know, when Carl said, I was going to read the entire chapter, I got thinking about that for just a moment. I came real close to changing my entire lesson to just reading Psalm 119 tonight. That would have been just perfect. You wouldn't have had to listen to me other than what I was reading from God's Word. What I want to suggest to us, that many times it's under the old law and even in the New Testament era during the days of the synagogue worship, quite often that was what took place, was simply the reading of God's Word. And what we need to understand is that we can take that time and just read it. And now that this has come out, I'm probably going to do this one day. You don't need to sit and listen to me rattle on sometimes. I think it would be better just to read an entire book, maybe the book of Ephesians, or just read one of Paul's epistles, or read all of Psalm 119 in one setting together. But there are things that we learn from these verses, that it's our inclination that by keeping God's Word close to us, what we are able to do is we are able to protect ourselves from the evil inclinations and the cultural temptations that the world presents to us. It enables us to carry our shield with us. Remember in Ephesians chapter 6, you put on the whole armor of God. When you've got the Word of God with you, you've got the protection that you need. But what I want to suggest to us, in order for us to be able to do this, not only do we sometimes need to carry that physical word with us, but more importantly than anything else, I think one of the things that the writer here is emphasizing is making sure that we have God's Word written right here. In order for us to keep it close to us, it needs to be in us and not just in the book itself. So what do you do? Well, what does the next verse tell us there? He says, with my whole heart, I have sought you. There are things that when you get right down to it, the digging into God's Word helps us find Him. I have sought you with my whole heart. And understand this, that where we are in our lives, sometimes change is absolutely necessary. We looked at David this morning in 2 Samuel chapter 12 and Nathan coming to him. It was absolutely necessary for David to change. It's necessary for us to realize that change is needed. But on that road to higher education, it's where are we seeking that information that gives us that divine education. I look at this and understand that it doesn't mean that everything needs to change. Yeah, that's very likely true, but some things need to stay as they are. You don't want to change who you are. If you're a child of God, there may be repentance needed, but it doesn't necessarily mean you have to change everything else. But change is often necessary. And when you think about what the writer here is saying, I sought you with my whole heart. What is he saying? He's saying, do not eliminate God from your life. Don't eliminate him from your plans. Don't discount the role that he plays in your life. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16, in verse 11, it says, seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore. Now think about that. You decide what you're going to do on a daily basis. You decide where you're going to go. But when you do those things, don't forget God. Is your life on a regular basis, a life that truly seeks God? Is it one that seeks the knowledge of God? Is it one that you are truly seeking to find Him because you eventually want to be able to live eternally with Him? In Isaiah chapter 55, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 21, you hear these words, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You think about what Jesus is saying in that particular text, context. He's talking about you can't serve two masters. You can't love money more than God. Consider this. Where your heart is your heart into seeking God? Is your heart into finding God? Is that where your treasure truly is? Because if all we're going to be is wrapped up in the temporal surroundings in which we live, then that is where our heart is. If it doesn't get any better than this, don't do any more seeking. But what the Scriptures encourage us and teach us is that God can be sought, God can be found. And when we find Him through God's Word, our lives are truly enriched. Our lives are improved. Better. We become better people. Isaiah said it this way in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. That one verse right there in Isaiah suggests something to me that one day, God's not going to be available to us if we're not His people. I know that when it comes time for the judgment, that when I hear the words of the Apostle Paul saying that one day that every knee is going to bow to Him, but in that day, even though there were going to be those who were faithful and they're going to be rewarded with that home in heaven, there were going to be those who are going to bow to Him that never sought Him in this life, in their lifetime. By then, He's not going to be available to them anymore. They're going to be eternally separated from Him. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. While you have breath in your body, while you have life still to live, the highest form of education that you could ever have is seeking God and then doing His will. The psalmist also goes on, and then you hear him say, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. This to me suggests that the writer of this psalm has done something with God's word, given it a place in his life. This higher education that he's received from the Word of God, he has taken it with him. He has hidden it in his heart. And he has a purpose in this, that I might not sin against you. His Word, hide His Word in your heart today. I read something the other day, and I have to admit, I have not been one who emphasizes the memorization of Scripture. But I don't see how you cannot memorize Scripture if you're seeking God. Because the more you read it, the more familiar you're going to be with it. And I read something the other day that said that there's an easy way to memorize Scripture. And this particular individual has now memorized 43 books of the Bible. And he's done it this way. He's done it one verse a day. And I say that, one verse a day. He starts with one verse, and then he adds a verse, and then he adds a verse the third day, and he adds a verse the fourth day. But if you want to memorize, say, the book of Ephesians, turn over to Ephesians chapter 1 real quick. You want to write God's Word on your heart? You want to hide it in your heart? One of the classes, that evidence classes that I took when I was in college, my instructor required us to memorize certain passages out of the book of Ephesians. And what he would do is he would give us a group of verses to memorize, or he said you had a choice. If you wanted extra credit, you could memorize an entire chapter. And so I tried doing that. I can tell you what you cannot do when it comes to trying to memorize an entire chapter. Unless you've got a photogenic memory, you're not going to do it in 5 minutes. You're not going to be able to go into his office and have his and recite an entire chapter of the book of Ephesians to his secretary and get credit for it if all you've done is the half hour before is you open it up and say, "Oh, I can do this. This is easy." But what this gentleman suggests is this. So if you want to memorize the Scriptures, say, like, begin with Ephesians 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Read that out loud 10 times. Then set the Bible down and then try to say it out loud without looking 10 times. If you can't do it that way, then look at it again. But do you see what he does? This is a matter of repetition. How do you hide the Word of God in your heart so that you cannot sin against Him if you don't spend time with it? That's the emphasis in this. When it comes to memorizing God's Word or writing in it, having it hidden in our heart, it means we have to have spent time there in order to be able to do it. I've known preachers that could preach an entire sermon never opening their Bible, never turning a page. I've known at least one gentleman that could quote from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, all the way to the end of the book of Revelation. And I stood there in awe and could listen to him preach. The idea behind all of what the psalmist is saying right here is we have to know God's Word. It doesn't mean when he says, "I've hidden it in my cabinet." He didn't say that, did he? He didn't say, "I've hidden it in my desk." He's hidden it right here. Why? So that it could be available to him at all time. So that he can withstand temptations of the world. So that he can be armed against the invasions of evil that no doubt every individual will face in their lifetime. He wrote it on his heart. What do you see next? Well, what do you see next is he's inviting this divine instruction into his life. And that's what we should be doing. We should have this desire for it. "Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes." Now, I've had teachers that I've respected. I've had professors that I've respected because they've spent a great deal of time preparing themselves to be able to do the things that they do to give the student a good education. But think about what God has done for us and the fact that He has inspired men through by the Holy Spirit to put down in writing for us His will. What do we do? Well, if we are going to seek Him, what are we asking? We're asking Him to teach us. We're asking Him, and you think about what James says in James chapter 1 about praying for wisdom. When we pray for wisdom, whose wisdom are we praying for? You think about that for a moment. Yes, I want my understanding, I want my knowledge, I want my wisdom to increase, but where do I want my wisdom to come from? It has to come from above. And if I've written God's Word in my heart, hidden it there, then what I've done is I have invited Him to give me that divine instruction. Not asking for worldly advice. I had a roommate my sophomore year of college. Think about it now, I'm about 19. We set out to solve all the problems of the world, especially our dating lives. We thought we had all the answers when it came to what was wrong. Why did so-and-so not want to go out with you on that? Why am I having such a hard time getting along with... we can give worldly wisdom all we want. And two 19-year-olds getting together and telling each other how it should be done, they need to seek wiser counsel than themselves. I found that out very early on in life. But the wisest counsel that you can ever receive comes from God above. When you are blessed by the Lord, you turn around and then say, "Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes." When you invite divine instruction into your life, that tells you that you have a hunger and a thirst for God's ways. What are you doing? You're hungering and thirsting for righteousness. And what will happen? You'll be satisfied. You'll be filled. When you're inviting that divine instruction into your life, you're truly trying to learn from the Lord. Proverb writer, the wise man Solomon, says it this way in Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 1, "My son, pay attention to my wisdom." And let me tell you, Solomon was wise, but where did his wisdom come from? Why was there a reason to pay attention to him? Was it simply because he had learned everything by himself? He prayed for wisdom and God gave it to him. "My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding." He'll say something else in Proverbs chapter 3 in verse 13. "Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding." Do you believe that the psalmist over here in Psalm 119 is a happy individual? I do. I listen to what he's saying and listen to his words and come back to this. He said, why would he say, "Blessed are you, O Lord," if he was not a joyful individual because of his status and standing with God? "Teach me your statutes. And then don't be ashamed of who you are." You look at the very next verse. "With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth." It's real easy today in the culture in which we live, the society in which we live, to be made fun of and people try to shame you because you're a child of God. Do not be ashamed of who you are. Do not be afraid to make the proclamation that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I will suggest to you that during the first century, it brought death not only to Christ, but it brought death to some of those who believed. Eventually, somewhere around the world today, it's going to cause somebody else to die, because there will be those that stand in opposition to that. Don't let people sit there and point their finger at you and you say, "You poor little Christian." Stand up for God. Declare His judgments to individuals. Think about this. It's easy just to follow along with others, isn't it? To be part of the crowd. It's easy to be part of a crowd that don't share your convictions. It's easy to be part of a group that don't share your beliefs. What the psalmist gives us instruction is simply, don't let that happen. Be glad about who you are and let the others know. Don't be ashamed to talk about what happens or what God has done in your life. I'm going to use an example here, and I don't mean to embarrass her. But if you've ever seen some of Miranda's posts on Facebook, you see a young child of God thankful for the changes God has made in her life. And what has she done? She's put it out there for everybody to see. Are we afraid to do that? She puts it out there for everyone to see, even those who might not agree with her. Let me suggest this. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 1 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. When we become ashamed of who we are, we become ashamed of that gospel message too. And what do we fail to do? We stop sharing it. And what is our responsibility as children of God today? Is it simply to take care of ourselves? Remember this morning in the lesson, that book that was written in the 1980s, the new rules? What do? Is we just simply take care of ourselves and everybody else has to fall in line with our needs? We've got to remember that we're supposed to have developed a servant's heart along the way, and part of that is sharing God's word with who? One another? Now, we're supposed to be sharing it with the lost, those who need it the most. And if we're ashamed of who we are, maybe we haven't enjoyed that transformation that the Apostle Paul talks about in Romans chapter 12. That's supposed to have taken place in our life. Because let me suggest this, if we truly have been transformed, then we know that our reasonable service to God is to at least talk to people about Him. That would be the least we could do, to share Him with them. So don't be ashamed of who you are. Now, have you seen what's happened through this? The psalmist and everything that he's recorded right here, he's not finished. Verse 14, I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies. He's not ashamed of who he is. He's not ashamed of the testimonies of the Lord. And what we're seeing there is, when you think about the testimonies of the Lord, some of those things might not be kind to us at times. Because some of those things are going to give us that swift kick in the pants that we need to correct our lives. Instead of treating the Word of God with rejoicing, we may somewhat feel hemmed in by it, too restricted. But here's the thing. The psalmist right here in Psalm 119, that's not him. I think about what James says, and James talks about the Word of God as being the perfect law of slavery. No. He talks about it being the perfect law of liberty. It frees us. It liberates us. It changes us. And it doesn't just hem us in. It protects us. Yes, there are thou shalt nots and there are thou shalts within the Scripture. But what I know when it comes to the declaring the testimony, rejoicing in the testimonies of God, it's understanding that His ways are for my benefit. And understanding that God's Word never requires anything or restricts anything that is not good for you. Oh, there's that message that I remember hearing from my mom and dad about that nasty cough syrup that I had to take when I was young and I wasn't feeling good. But it's good for you. That first time I had to eat asparagus, but it's good for you. You know, and truly, those things were there for my physical health, better for my physical health. There's nothing better for your spiritual health than God's Word and understanding that His testimonies feed you and nourish your spirit and your soul. So then you remember what's important in life. You look at verse 14, I have rejoiced. And then verse 15, he says, what? I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I want to go back to the memorization of Scripture for just a minute. If you want to memorize anything, that method that I told you about, reading something 10 times and then repeating it 10 times, and if you're not able to do it in that first 10 times, that one little verse, you can do that. But if memorization is the only thing you're after, then you're missing an even greater point. The idea that is set forth by the psalmist here is the fact that what we're looking at, he says, I will meditate on your ways, on your precepts, and contemplate your ways. There is some careful thought that is put into them. It's not just a cursory reading. It's just not memorization for the sake of memorization. It's the ability to use, you've invited the divine wisdom or the divine instructor to instruct you. Then you find value to it. When you find value to it, you give it a place in your life. And when you give it a place in your life, you've made the application and you've made the correct application. Meditating upon God's Word is just that. It's you're sitting there and you're looking at it and you're asking the who, what, where, when, why, and the hows. And then you're asking, how does this affect me and how can I improve my life through that Word? The psalmist has said all of these things. And the reason he rejoices in the fact he has the opportunity to meditate upon this. So no matter how good the education you get in this life, it's not as important nor is it as functional as knowing and loving God in His Word. Solomon said it of the writing of many books when he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. He mentioned how troublesome it was. And it was. And you think about the volumes upon volumes of books that have been written since Solomon wrote what he wrote. How those things can trouble the mind. And yet we have one book that can bring peace to your life. That can afford you instruction. And you think about remembering that. Colossians chapter 3 verses 1 and 2 says it this way. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things on the earth. Change your perspective. The writer of Psalm 119's perspective is an upward perspective toward God. And so you keep in mind that which is important. Was talking to Ron about cars just a little bit before services started. There was a program that came on television just a little bit before we left the house. An auto auction. Mecum auto auction out in Arizona. They have some mighty expensive cars that run through that place. And then awfully good looking cars. But let me tell you what. Those cars aren't near as important as what God's Word should be. Things. The signs you said, he who has the most toys wins, or he who has the most tools wins. You might have seen those signs out somewhere. No, those things are not important. It's not the bachelor's, it's not the master's, it's not the PhD that's important. Because all that is keeping us bound earthward. God's Word opens our hearts and our minds to seek Him upward, an upward calling of God. And so, God's Word in this particular sense, that last verse, verse 16, He says, I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your Word. Now, it doesn't matter whether I'm talking to a young person or an older person, like I said, a more experienced child of God. If you take these things with you, all the books you can study, you might find some satisfaction. You might actually find some joy in reading a series of books. But they will not delight your mind more than the Word of God will. Because that Word of God brings you life. That Word of God brings you closer to the Lord every day. Take it with you. Whether you're in school, whether you're on vacation, whether you're at home, wherever you will be, write it right here so that you can contemplate it and meditate upon every day, so that it can continue to bring joy in your life, so that you can remember who you are, what you are, and from whence you came. That's a more complicated way of saying what Cindy and I say to our kids. Remember who you are and whose you are. The psalmist remembered. He knew who he was and who he belonged to. And he told us right here how we, if we do these things, will never forget who we are. Take out your psalm books. The song you're about to sing serves as a song of invitation to those who may not have obeyed the gospel or to those who may need to reconcile their life to God as an erring child of God. That opportunity is yours to remember who you are and whose you are. If you desire to be His child, act in that faith this evening. If you desire to reconcile your life as an erring child of God, we stand ready to encourage you with prayer. Won't you come? Let's together we stand and as we sing.
Hear the sweet voice of Jesus say,